The reason for wanting to revive it now is, I think, part of the new political structure of the National Theatre, a new leadership, very much wanting to put women's work at the centre of what the National Theatre is doing. So reviving a play as powerful as Cleansed by a young woman is very much fulfilling that wonderful new feminist remit that is part of the National Theatre now.
At the time it was written, memories of the Yugoslav civil war and the terrible evidence of torture and prison camps came out of that would have been very much in the public domain. How does it feel staging it now when those memories are so long ago?
Obviously, the play was really influenced by the war that was going on in the former Yugoslavia, which had enormous effect, I think, on Sarah Kane. And this play, as well as Blasted, very much have the sort of shadow of that cast across them. But because she's not being literal and specific about it, it can stand free, I think, of that historical context. I mean, today there are so many wars going on where events like that are happening in probably educational establishments across the world, where violence and torture is going on. I mean, they're very useful buildings to use for that sort of awful, horrendous activity. And remember that the play is not about violence. The play is about love.
Explain what you mean, because it's not the love that I take away mainly.
Well, all of the torture that is going on is led by a doctor who's making tests about love. Its durability. The gay couple in it, the durability of their love is being tested and they're being tortured to see whether their love will survive, and their love does. So love wins in this play, not violence. Of course, there are moments where hands are cut off and tongues are taken out, but at the same time, there's immense tenderness. And there are flowers that grow in the play
That's
as well.
Beautiful,
and there's sex that happens in the play, which is very tender, quiet, delicate sex between people. And the flowers, yes, they grow, and there's a sunflower as well. I mean, directing it is a nightmare because you risk people to laugh in every direction you head, you know. Will they laugh at your sunflower? Will they laugh as the tongue comes out? Or will they be able to accept this strange poetic landscape where someone can be brutalised or tenderly made love to? So I would say she's a very, very serious, frightening, challenging artist. And she's formally radical. So the form is totally radical. Forget the violence, leave that aside. The form is incredible. So Sarah Kane is sort of in the tradition of writers like Sylvia Plath, Virginia Woolf, Anne Sexton, fantastically talented artists, able to sort of forensically analyse our society and organise narrative and language in a way that's totally unexpected for us and makes us frame our society differently, insists that we look differently. I mean, it's a play which has got scenes that repeat with variation. It doesn't have a linear narrative. The characters sort of shift and slip a bit. They're not logical. These are sort of formal experiments that are in the sort of, you know, vein of someone like Virginia Woolf's doing The Waves. And I think that's an amazing... It's a play in the vanguard, formally, of what theatre can be. And even now, it insists that a theatre push itself. When you're working on the material, you can feel it go, go on, I dare you. Can you do this? Can you really do this? Can you act that? Can you direct that? Can you design that? And she's saying to theatre, come on, raise your game. You know, it's really hard to direct. Every single stage direction is almost undoable.
Tell me about that, then. What sort of stage directions do you have? And if they're almost undoable, how do you do them?
Well, suddenly a sunflower grows. Suddenly the room is full of daffodils. A tongue is cut out with a pair of scissors. You know, these are very, very challenging things to do beautifully. They're lovely to read, and as soon as you read them, you run a little film of a daffodil or a sunflower sprouting. But when you have, like, the technician under the stage trying to push up the sunflower in a way that's sort of not comedic, or try and get the daffodils to come up so beautifully that you can accept that they're growing.
Oh, they do. The daffodils come up
beautifully. But they have to work so hard. The crew operating the sunflower and the daffodils have to work really, really hard. And all the departments have had to work enormously hard. So the wigs and makeup, the armoury department, you know, everyone's had to come into rehearsals all the time. We come in with plastic pots full of blood, different types of fake tongue, different types of tweezers that you can catch tongues in, different scissors, different blood machines, you know, so they're sort of blood things that you have little pumps in the pocket of the actor so the right blood sprays out when a throat is cut. is technically just riddled with really tricky corners.
What about for your performers, playing these torturers and victims? Some of it is very sexualized. It's very disturbing to watch, and they have to do it night after night.
Yes, we have to laugh a lot in order to balance the despair and the darkness of the material. And I think it has been difficult at different moments for the performers in different ways. We all dream huge nightmares. Yes, everyone has very, very strange nightmares where very extreme events take place in these nightmares. But on the other hand, it is quite technical. So the fact that you have the blood bag in your pocket and you have to put it into the mouth at a certain time and slip the fake tongue in there with the right tongs and get your timing right in order to give the impression of horrible violence means that I think they're always thinking technically as well as psychologically. And I think that rescues them from the dark horror that the play contains.
I know that Sarah Kane's work is particularly highly valued in Germany, which seems to be a country which wants to constantly deal with its history of atrocity through culture. In Britain, I think, just judging by those occasional walkouts you're going to get every night, and we heard a mutter of, oh, lot of bollocks. Is there something culturally about the British that we don't feel you need to treat this stuff on stage, that it isn't right when you're dealing with atrocity of the kind that we see in world events?
Yes, there isn't a big tradition of putting the violence of atrocity on stage in Britain. And, of course, it's very, very different to Germany. And the sort of self-laceration of that culture as a result of the Holocaust means that it has a distrust of narrative, of character, of heroism. And they're fearless in presenting violence on stage. We don't naturally do that. And they're fearless about nudity as well. It's very unusual sometimes to... You see a body of work in Germany for no one to be wearing clothes. You know, that can get quite unusual. But I'm not sure exactly why we are afraid of it, because when I think back to the war, remembering my time recently in Germany, we were pretty engaged in some nasty melting of people in the streets of Hamburg, annihilating cities like Cologne in that latter stage of the war when... Surely only women, children and old people could have been in those cities and places. So I think maybe we could encourage ourselves to investigate and examine that part of human behaviour or our contribution to history and violence. Maybe it's a good thing to have plays like this on. But I fear that the rejection of some of the content and formal experimentation in Kane's work here is... out of fear. We're afraid of that dark female voice that insists we examine pornography, insists we examine violence. We just don't feel comfortable being asked to do those things, particularly being asked by a woman to do those things. And that's something we've got to get better at culturally.